This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin Edition. This originally was the creation of Brandon Legal Group. My friends at Brandon Legal Group were brainstorming a few years ago and said, how about a fantasy exclusive preview of every Bucks game and the Bucks opponent during the week of the regular season? And we all thought it was a good idea. We all thought it was very unique. And it continues here for 2020. Brandon Legal Group also wants you to know you never have to ask them what type of law they specialize in. They are a full-service law firm, and you need not live, work, nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon to call Brandon Legal Group for a free consult. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. 844-4BLG-4ME. 844-4BLG-4ME. Or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Quick reminder for those of you that may be new to the spinoff that's now 3 years running for the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll do the Bucks Bulletin every week as best we can with the information available at the time of recording as a fantasy exclusive preview of the game. We'll also throw in point spreads and totals because that is a factor, especially the total when making fantasy decisions. Now, that all said, week one, I have often said, and ironically, one of my owners in the Foundation League went against this theory last night. While Matthew Berry, very talented fantasy guy and a terrific personality from ESPN, often said, don't kick cute about lineups late in the season to get into or in the playoffs, I go against him on that theory and have on the fantasy podcast for years and say you do not do it week one and week two. You drafted your fantasy team. You just did this days ago or a week ago. And unless there is an injury or an actual or a cut, or let's say, for example, we'll get into Ronald Jones, but let's say you had one of the Detroit running backs and a Kerryon Johnson or a DeAndre Swift, and suddenly they sign Adrian Peterson, then yeah, you factor that into your week one or week one decisions. But other than that, look at the top of your draft board and start filling in your starters. Because if you are not starting the players in order of you drafting them, why the hell did you pick them? It basically makes you question your draft philosophy. So you're either admitting you already made mistakes or you're making a mistake by not drafting the highest ranked person you could play at that position. As an example, in my Foundation League, there was an owner that drafted Will Fuller higher than Jared Cook. However, that owner played Jared Cook at the wide receiver tight end flex this week and not Will Fuller, who did have over 100 yards receiving, albeit not a touchdown, in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday night. Could it still work out? Sure, it could. If Cook gets 12 points or more, if he gets in the end zone, maybe he gets 50 yards, it's about a push, a little more than that, that's different. But still, I think that owner would have taken the 11 or 12 points that Will Fuller got in my modernized, standardized scoring that I've talked on many podcasts about to this point. And that owner drafted Fuller over Cook, didn't start him over Cook in week one. So when you look at your starting lineups for this week, I don't think you have many decisions to make. If you drafted Tom Brady as your top quarterback, you play Tom Brady. If you drafted Drew Brees as your top quarterback, you play Drew Brees. If you drafted Alvin Kamara in the first round, you play Alvin Kamara. If you selected Leonard Fournette as an RB2 or an RB3, you might want to play him. You might want to play Leonard Fournette. If you selected Ronald Jones as an RB2, you may want to ease off. Now, that's one situation that's likely changed depending on when your draft was. Was your draft pre-Fournette signing with the Bucks or post-Fournette signing with the Bucks? I know if I had to start one of the Bucs running backs, it would certainly be Fournette, not Ronald Jones. At least week one, my preference is to start neither Fournette or Jones because I want to see what Fournette's role is in the offense week one. From a wide receiver standpoint, if you drafted Michael Thomas as your wide receiver one, yeah, you're playing him. That's a set it and forget it, quoting Matthew Berry. If you drafted Chris Godwin as your wide receiver one or as a great wide receiver two, you're playing him. Now let's get to Mike Evans. That looks like it's going to be a check status all weekend and maybe right up until 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday, which makes a decision difficult since I'm sure some or all of your other wide receiver options instead of Mike Evans may be playing 1 o'clock games or may have played on Thursday night in the Kansas City game against the Houston Texans. So you're hoping for some clarity on Mike Evans before 90 minutes before kickoff of Bucs and Saints. At this point, I'd be very cautious about pushing chips all in with Mike Evans for that particular game. It's just week one. I don't know that Evans nor the Bucs training staff nor Arians and Leftwich want to push a soft tissue injury, knowing what happened at the end of last year with Mike Evans. So at least have that in your head that what are your other options, even if you drafted Evans to be your wide receiver one or wide receiver two, you may be looking elsewhere. From a wide receiver standpoint for the Saints, I don't imagine many of you drafted Emmanuel Sanders to be your wide receiver two. He's a year off an Achilles injury. He had moments last year with the Broncos, and then once he was traded to the 49ers. It's a good signing for the Saints. I think it also speaks volumes not to believe what you're hearing about Tre'Quan Smith having a breakout year. I'm sure they're optimistic, but Smith seems to make one big play about every month, even if it's a couple plays every 2 weeks. He's not fantasy worthy to me. He's been on and off my team via waivers for a couple of years now. So the Sanders signing speaks volumes to that. I don't know that either are strong plays necessarily in this game. I'd lean towards Sanders over Smith, I think just based on experience and playing time. From a tight end situation, Cook was probably considered a top 8-ish a tight end in fantasy. So if you are in a must position with a tight end, I get that Cook might be someone you're considering in this game. Of course, I don't have mandatory tight end in any of my leagues because I've modernized that position to a wide receiver tight end flex. While there is an owner in my league who is playing Cook, and I hope it works out for that owner's not playing against me. Again, they could have had Will Fuller's, 11 or 12 points based on the yardage Will Fuller gained in the Thursday night game against the Chiefs. From a Tampa Bay standpoint, I think it's pretty clear Brait would be the play. Wait to see what kind of work Gronkowski gets in a game like this. And until we see O.J. Howard has gotten past the apathy, let's call it that, Arians and Leftwich have towards using him that's left over from last year, I don't think Howard is a strong fantasy play. Although with tight ends, and this is one of the reasons why it's not a mandatory position in my leagues, if you get one touchdown out of a tight end, you've had a good week. So in that case, it doesn't take much for you to say, I'll take it. You know, it takes one touchdown to get 6 points to almost justify putting a fantasy tight end in your lineup. But to me, that's too unpredictable, especially since we haven't seen any live action with Gronk this year, and with O.J. Howard in his second year under Bruce Arians and in the Byron Leftwich offense. From a kicker standpoint, not that kickers are very predictable, although we know who the best ones are, the most accurate ones are, and you want one on a high-scoring team, although it is interesting how on bad teams, kickers can do pretty well because they get a lot of field goal attempts. Matt Prater's been an excellent example of that in recent years, and even why Josh Lambeau is someone who bubbles up as a fantasy starter on a bad team. Nevertheless, Will Lutz, I think, commonly is considered the number three kicker in fantasy because he's on a high-scoring Saints team and he kicks indoors. So if you drafted him to play him, I think you feel pretty comfortable about doing that. From a Ryan Succop standpoint, people are all excited. Ryan Succop's never missed a field goal in Raymond James Stadium. And, of course, his Bucs debut is in a road game. So there's your fantasy exclusive preview of Bucs and Saints. Keep checking status on Mike Evans through the weekend. And just know that if you do roll the dice until 90 minutes before the Bucs kickoff, you're likely losing more options that are playing at 1 o'clock and then would be stuck with other 4 o'clock options unless you have a Cowboy, a Ram, or there are two Monday night games. Maybe you have a Bronco, Titan, Steeler, or Giant wide receiver, like, say, a Darius Slayton or a Deontay Johnson on your bench that you could start instead, or maybe even a Michael Gallup or a CeeDee Lamb from the Cowboys. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucs Bulletin, presented by Brandon Legal Group. Thank you for listening.